Welcome to PCMC, Pop Culture Man. I'm just trying to do my Geiger. Pop Culture Man, Children.
That's actually really good.
thank you so much. Thank you very much.
That sounds exactly like it.
Yeah. Welcome to PCMC, Pop Culture Man, Children. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here with my good friend and yours, H.R. Nadia Cater.
It's Geiger or Geiger, right?
I always say Geiger. But I don't know if I'm wrong. One of us, we could both be right.
I could be totally wrong. I don't know. I always said Geiger.
I do know that one time I was out in front of the IFC Center and we were having a conversation about H.R. Geiger, and somebody must have said Geiger because someone came up to us and was like, "Did you just say the N-word?" And like tried to start a fight with us, and we were like, we honestly did not say the N-word. It was very weird.
Wait, you and me?
No, not you and me. You were
Okay. I was going to be like, I feel like I would remember that, but probably not.
No, it was me and other people. Me and other people.
God.
Somebody there had a tattoo of the Xenomorph from Alien, cool. Which I think started the conversation. Anyway.
That's awesome.
All right, so what we're talking about today, this is a groundbreaking episode for PCMC. We've never done a whole episode on an artist, the subject being the artist. We've come close where we did like an episode on art exhibits and stuff, but this is an artist, and this is, I've been saying it, I don't know if I've been saying it on the pod, but I've been saying it off the pod, which is after 400 when we did the Wizard of Oz Spectacular. And I think if you listen, you've noticed this. We've been trying to expand into these new different areas. And I'm enjoying it. I hope you're enjoying listening to it. And I've always wanted to do an artist. The one thing I haven't cracked, I'll peel back the curtain for you. The one thing I haven't cracked is how to do a podcast on poetry. Because I don't want to, there are great poetry podcasts where you read the poem and talk about it, but I don't know if I want to read a poem. I don't know if that's the kind of podcast we are. But anyway, that's a problem for another day. This is us talking about artists, and we're talking about H.R. Geiger, the Swiss artist, who is, well, let's say he is most well known for designing the Xenomorph, the alien in the Alien series. Along with manufacturing posters and kind of getting himself out there that way are the two reasons why he sort of is in the zeitgeist. But what me and Nadia are going to do today is like the concept is like this is like an audio commentary, but for works of art. So me and Nadia both have 5 images from H.R. Geiger that we want to talk about. And we're going to tell you the name of those images so you can Google them. And you Google them and look at the image, and then we will talk about the image together. Imagine like when you walk through a museum with a friend and you kind of talk about the things you look at. That's kind of the vibe we're going for here. So, Nadia, are you ready?
As ready as I can be for this, sir.
Let me ask you, what is your understanding of Geiger, feelings about Geiger? What do you know about Geiger?
Okay, well, from what I know about, I'm just going to say Geiger. I don't know. Whatever, we could go back and forth. But
you can say Geiger, I'll say Geiger. Let's call the whole thing off.
Okay. All right, fine. Geiger. So Geiger, what I know about Geiger is...
Say Geiger. Say what you want to say.
Okay.
We're probably both wrong because he's Swiss. It's like Geiger. You know what I mean? It's probably some crazy shit that we can't even say.
You have a point. And The Swiss language is also, like, they have their own German. There's a lot going on there. But,
shockingly not German. Like, from looking at his work, you'd be like, that guy's German. But he's shockingly not.
There's something about Switzerland completely different. But anyway, so what I know about him, he wore all black, like, almost all the time.
Yeah.
He died 2014, but he looks like a garden gnome with a glandular problem.
Yes. He looks like actually, you know what he really looks like? He looks like Chekhov from Star Trek.
Okay.
But like
Yes.
a more monstrous version, like the Mirror Universe version of Chekhov. They should have done an old Star Trek episode where it was the Mirror Universe, but instead of just doing him with a mustache, it was Geiger playing him. He's like, I am Chekhov.
He also kind of sounds like the trolls from the animated Hobbit movie that you and I did.
Yes.
Like
Yes, he does. He very much does.
Yeah, so what I know about him is mostly the Xenomorph stuff,
Yeah.
and so I wasn't like super well versed other than that, so I was excited to just kind of dive in. He lived a relatively long life. He died at 74.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So that's really all. I don't know a lot. That's really a lot of it. Oh, he also designed he made these paintings for Jodorowsky's Dune that was never
Yeah.
made.
Yes.
Like
And
he
he also,
designed some of
yeah.
them. Yeah.
He also designed the alien for the movie Species, if anyone's ever seen the movie Species.
You know, I haven't seen that.
Look up the Species alien. You could tell it's him. So I got into his work when I was in grad school. I took a class on cyborgs in media and pop culture and literature. That was actually a really great class for me. It was when I first read Frankenstein,
Cool.
and I first time I saw RoboCop. It was a really good class. And yeah, like any class where you get to read Frankenstein and watch RoboCop, that's a great class. So we talked about Geiger because we were talking about Alien, because there's cyborgs in that. And I bought his famous tome that he published, I think, in 1992, called H.R. Geiger's Necronomicon. It's a gigantic book, although I do think they make smaller versions of it now, that he put together. So it has biographical information based on him, and it also has like a little bit of criticism based on this must be interpretations of his work that he likes. I actually have some, we'll get into it, but I have some criticism of, like, I like his work a lot, but at the same time, I think towards the end he took himself too seriously. I do have some biographical information just to throw this out there before we get into it. He grew up in Chur, Switzerland. I think it's spelled Chur. I don't know if it's Chur or Chur. He grew up there. His father was a pharmacist. He saw pictures in a magazine of Cocteau's Beauty and the Beast. We talked about that last week, and that set his imagination on fire. So his father was a pharmacist, and he got a real skull sent to him from a pharmaceutical supply company, I guess, to keep around. And Geiger took the skull, and it was like, this is my favorite thing, and like kept it his whole life. He was intrigued by staircases and subterranean worlds. You see that a lot in his work. He was really interested in railways when he was a kid. And also, did you watch a documentary about him?
I watched the one you sent me, the passages, and then
Yeah.
I watched Dark Star on my own.
So as both a kid and as an adult, he made his own like dark rides in his house where like it's this little train and it goes through like it's a dark ride, like the Haunted Mansion. He and that really puts him in a weird category because that's something he has in common with Walt Disney, an obsession with dark rides and trains. But he was also obsessed with guns, which you see a lot in his work, especially his earlier work. And he was grossed out by worms, and he says a lot of stuff coming from nightmares. You know, again, this is all coming from him.
You know
He
what's
had,
interesting about that though is like you mentioned the skull story. He repeats that story in Dark Star.
yes.
But he has like a different interpretation. He said it terrified him. And so
Oh,
like
okay.
a way to love Yeah, so it was like but so I had the idea
Yeah.
to keep it with me. And he said I tied a string on it and just like can you imagine seeing that
Yeah.
kid, like that little gnome kid looking
Yeah.
kid just dragging a human skull around
Yeah.
on a leash. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's like an interpretation of your own stuff from your age. Because he wrote Necronomicon in like the 70s, and then Dark Star was like, what, a day before he died?
Yeah, basically.
Yes. Yeah, sorry, I messed up your flow.
No, that's right. He had an early girlfriend slash muse named Lai, who a lot of the female figures in his work are based on her body. And just a little bit on his style, or not his style, but his methodology. He originally worked in Indian ink, doing drawings with pen or rapidograph. I don't know what that is, tracing paper. So he did a lot of drawing in the beginning, and then he did some oils and stuff. But then he hit a point in 1972 where he fell in love with airbrushes, and that's basically what most of his most famous stuff is from, airbrushing. That was the medium he is most well known for. Although I think you and I have on our list some earlier ink stuff. Yeah, that's it. So do you want to go first and give the name so the folks at home can look it up?
Okay, yeah, I can go first. So the first one I wanted to take a look at was I guess like for some reason my book is in English and German, which I don't know why. So I got just for the audience edification, I got a relatively cheap copy of the Taschen art book on H.R. Giger.
Nice.
So there's essays and there's all these and all his different paintings and it spans decades of his work. So this one I think the English translation is Phantom of the Opera. So it's from 1966. It's and it also in the book it tells like the medium it's India ink on paper on wood. So the reason why I chose this one, there's a few like. And I think this is kind of common for artists, so like they'll have like similar kind of themed or looked
Yeah.
like portraits. So I think this is one of them. And this India ink, what I really loved about it was while he's very much the biomechanical, when you look at this painting, it or well, whatever,
Wait,
this art
tell me which one again?
Phantom der Opera or Phantom der of the Opera. So that is the spindly woman. So
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah,
Oh,
so
yeah, okay. I don't
yeah, so
know.
she's
I'm going to try to find them in my book. I think we have almost all the same stuff, but I'm sorry. Yeah, I've got the image. We also share the images with each other.
yeah. So if you if you go to your if you can't find it in your book, I would just say go to the email and it's just like the woman that looks very spindly
Yeah.
with or it's wait a minute.
We're going to, so we're, what are the, So his images are super surreal, right? So we're gonna do something that I think I actually do this when I teach. I always tell the kids, like, one of the main skills you need to learn as a critic is how to translate what you see visually into words. Criticism is also translation, and so we have a hard task in front of us because this stuff is super weird and very, very detailed. So, we're gonna try to explain it to you.
It's not easy. I gotta say though, the one thing I don't like about this Taschen book is
Yeah.
like there's no index, and I
Oh, okay.
feel like oh God, I'm so sorry. I put the wrong title. It's actually Autumn Kinder, Adam
Oh, Autumn
Kinder.
Kinder.
Yeah, AtomKinder. So this was very similar. Yeah. So this is
But it's this image, though, right?
sorry, wait. Yeah, that one.
Okay, Autumn
Okay.
Kinder. Does it have the English name there too?
No, it just has Autumn Kinder.
Autumn Kinder, okay.
Yeah, so sorry, that's 1967 to 68 India ink on Transcop on paper on wood.
Okay.
So it's two figures that I call woman, but it's kind of hard to tell. They each have one leg. They're kind
Yeah.
of they're almost like two kind of almost ballet kind of looking with these. skulls that look like gas masks that are attached to their own anatomy, and they have, you know, they're so how you call it, like otherworldly, but
Well, I
also
think,
have
yeah. So
fine
in
shapely asses. Yeah.
yes. All right. So, you know, we're making our way through this. This is our first experiment with this. So we've given the name, we've kind of explained what the image is. So now let's just talk about it.
Okay.
So what made you pick this as one of the five you wanted to talk about? What about this intrigued you?
So there are periods of Giger's art phases where you kind of go through, is that he there are a lot of them that are really confined and feel claustrophobic. This one feels like a whole other world where there's a lot of space. So we have these two figures, and it almost looks like they're in some kind of, I don't know, like giant room or something with a big kind of moon behind it. And one of the rings, yeah, it's just so out there. And I feel like he had a bit more of range than what he's known for. And so this one, what I took from it is like from the title and the people of like, this is about nuclear war. And like people, yeah, so like Autumn Kinder, like children of the atom, perhaps that's what that means. Because Kinder means like child in German,
I thought it
right?
meant like autumn child. Autumn. Oh, is it? Is it autumn like autumn? Like
No, like
fall?
Adam, like Atom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
By the
so
way, yeah, go on.
sorry, well, I was gonna say like
Yes, I'm sorry.
no, I'm sorry. I just that it kind of looks like they're wearing an apparatus for survival, and
Oh, yeah.
that big circle in the back could be an explosion, it could be a moon, I don't know.
Well,
But
if you look at the bottom of it, it's got a tail that comes down to a set of two spheres.
yeah, which could be butts
Or
or
balls.
balls. Yeah,
Well, that's,
there. Yeah, so I picked this one just because it's kind of terrifying, but also in a way it reminded me of like works of Dali. Like if Dali experienced or was interested in painting like the after a nuclear holocaust. That's kind of what I took from it.
Do you notice in the figure on the left, like by its shoulder, I think there's a more humanoid figure in there,
Yeah.
almost like operating it like a puppet? Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's almost like a Cronenberg kind of technology, but this is like 70, 67, 68. It's a little before his time, but it was kind of like it still ties to that theme of the biomechanical, but it kind of reminded me of like, you know, you ever see Dali's painting of like the woman in front of the vanity, but like how you shift your perspective, it looks like a skull. Yeah, that's kind of like what I was thinking about. It's frightening and strange. It's like I could look in his paintings and just see a whole world there.
Well, I think
That's
that's what's so sort of striking about him is, he was very into H.P. Lovecraft, and I think that's maybe why he even calls himself H.R. Giger, and even the word Necronomicon comes from Lovecraft. And so Lovecraft, we talked a little bit when we talked about what the hell's the movie we watched?
At the Mouth of Madness.
This idea of like ancient monsters indifferent to us and stuff. I think that's in his work, this idea of like this ancient thing from the past. Something that I think is interesting about his work is, so there's some things that have double meanings, right? Like a gun could also be a penis, right? That's a double meaning. But he also has things that are kind of two things at the same time. Like these round spheres, right? You see them at the bottom. There's two at the bottom, and then there's two on the figure. So there's one, two, three. So if you're counting cheeks, right? If they're butts, you're counting one, two, three, four. There's eight cheeks here. But they're like three things. They're buttocks, their femurs, they're like the bottom of a bone. Like when you think about like a dog bone, they're the bottom of a bone, and of course their testicles. So it's multiple things at once. Even this figure, right? It's there's two legs that are coming together. So it's kind of like two beings that are one being at the same time. So it kind of is one person, but also two people.
Yeah, because also the way the kind of spindly leg femur things are shaped, it's kind of like they're kind of like they can make a pair of legs. So that's
So let's talk a little bit about the biomechanical, which is what he called it, right? One of, I don't want to say it's a theme or a motif because it's sort of the whole thing, but like the thing that he, the images that he renders are always images that seem to be a combination of organic material with machinery. So not really like cyborgs because, you know, like it doesn't seem like the technology is that advanced. It feels like, you know, like industrial revolution type machinery with bodies connected to it. So like in the movie Alien, there are the giant people that they call the space jockeys. They have things on their face similar to the images in this photo. Almost like it almost looks a little bit like an elephant's tusk, but it also looks like it could be a breathing apparatus. You know, by the way, I like the Prometheus movies, but what I don't like is that it robs one of the coolest things about the original Alien, which is no explanation for what those giants are when they go to the ship. And besides doing, you know, the Alien, he did that too. So it's this combination, and also you can't, it's very hard to see where one thing ends and one thing begins. You know, what is real material, what is organic material, and what is not. And that's sort of the main theme in his work. Okay. All right, so let me go to one of mine. Okay. So my first one is, and I have the English name for this. Sorry about that. My first one is called Birth Machine. He did it in 1967. All right, so just so you have an idea of what this image is, it looks like a close-up of a gun, a cross-section of a gun, but it might also be just a gigantic gun. And then in the gun, like where there would be bullets, are these little guys. They look like minions, actually. They've got bald heads and these round, like, they look like goggles, but this could be their eyes. And one of them, there are three in the chamber, and one looks like he's about to be shot out of the gun. So it's Birth Machine because, and again, we see here his obsession with guns. But they're also like holding little guns, it looks like, or they're holding something.
Oh, I thought those were
And,
screwdrivers.
Oh, okay.
But
Yeah.
yeah,
They
could
look
be
like
dumb.
sonic screwdrivers from Doctor Who. The whole thing's black and white. It has a very chrome look. So there's a lot of phallic imagery in his work, a lot of sexual imagery in his work, a lot of themes about gestation and being born. And in some ways, I think this is like cum, sperm, maybe, but it's also so incredibly violent. What comes to your mind when you look at this?
I think
Give
of
me a word. Give me one word that make it makes you feel.
oh man. Okay. I think of Doom.
Doom.
Yes.
Okay.
Cuz what I took from this right away is obviously like industrial military
Complex.
complex. I took it like a cynical kind of view of these creatures being made just for warfare.
Interesting.
So it's like birth machine, kind of like you're birthing soldiers.
Oh, very
That's
good. I
how
like
I
that.
took it.
No, I like that.
But I don't mean like I guess Doom was the closest, but it kind of, I'm still engaging with it. I'm not terrified. It doesn't make me feel hopeless necessarily, but it's kind of a, it's just a mood.
Yes.
I think it's really fascinating, especially to make, I have a lot of his paintings. Some of them do, not all of them look very clearly like a gun. Some of them are kind of ambiguous, but this is very much,
This is a
yes, your
gun.
gun. Yeah.
Well, I want to say something, which is this is an earlier piece. This is 1967. This is not done with airbrushing. I think that his earlier work has more humor. I think the later work he gets into like mystical shit and religious stuff and occult stuff, and he starts to like take himself, I think, maybe too seriously. I think there's a satire and even a playfulness in his earlier work. When I look at these little guys, compare them to some of the guys we'll see later on, like dead fetuses and crazy shit that he has later on. These guys look kind of funny looking. They do look super skinny, and their feet look, they have very human looking feet that look, emaciated. So there's pain. There's often you can often read pain into these figures, although that might just be my humanness coming out. I mean, maybe they're indifferent to this pain. But there's something kind of silly and funny about these guys.
You know what also kind of I took from Dark Star is I think it was Giger's wife who said that like he got into like painting babies and fetuses and stuff, and she was like, yeah, but if you notice, it's just his face. So, but if you look at these little guys in the gun, that's his little smushed in gnome face.
No, that's true. That's very true.
That makes it funnier, like in your kind of on your role here.
That's funny. What's your next work that you want to look at?
Yes, so this one is called the English word is landscape. Landscape. Let me for it. Oops. He does like a ton of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, Landscape 8. It's from 1972 to 73. It's acrylic on paper on wood. So I chose this one
Is this
because,
the purpley looking one?
yeah, it's the purpley clitty looking one.
Yeah,
So,
there's a lot of bulbous things here.
yeah, and
I saw them as warts, but they could be clits. Yeah, or
they could
both.
be,
Both at the same time.
yeah, genital warts. So,
Oh, some of the
yes.
eyes.
Yeah, isn't that horrifying? So
Yes.
this one, the reason why I picked it is he does experiment with color, but that's
Yes.
not what he's known for. He's known for all the black. But I really love the color in this. It's like purple
Yeah.
and kind of fades into a blue in the background.
I agree.
And also the spacing again, it looks like a large room where
Yeah.
you're standing on a creature or creatures. Like
Right.
it goes back to that Lovecraftian kind of idea.
Right.
It also, in a weird way, it kind of reminded me of the movie Stalker.
Okay.
Stalker by, oh my God.
Like that weird room that you're not allowed to go into.
Yes, yeah. So, the Tarkovsky movie.
Yeah.
There's a scene in, and this painting came out before this movie, so it's kind of a coincidence. But basically, there's a has some like mystic like magical kind of ish kind of realism in it, but essentially it's about these guys that go into this demilitarized zone where aliens left all their stuff,
Right.
and because they've heard that there's a room where you can make a wish, and it's basically like a alien dumping ground. You never
Yeah.
see the aliens, you don't know why they were there. They're
Yeah.
not even a part of the story, but it's kind of like, they don't care about us. But like this, in a way, it kind of looks like that room, except instead of the sand, it's Warty Bulba. So,
Yeah.
yeah, so there's
It
that
looks
kind of,
like, yeah, gone.
oh, sorry, I was gonna say, like, in some ways, it also looks like squid heads.
Okay.
Like, if you look on the left of the kind of purple
Yeah.
purpley side, because in my book it's, it takes over 2 pages.
Yeah.
Some of them just have eyes, and some of them look like they kind of have almost like mouths, kind of, but more
Yes.
like
Yeah.
like a sea creature has those weird, not necessarily tentacles, but they have kind of like almost like whiskers,
Yeah,
and it
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
looks like
yeah,
that. Yeah, it reminded me of like just
yeah.
a, I don't know, or an ocean or something, of in a
Yeah.
confined space.
Yeah, it's interesting that he calls it landscape, which any other artist would be something different. This is still very much alive. This is a creature. Some of it looks like prawns. Some it looks also it reminds me of the pink ooze, the pink slime from Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
If you look in the center of the composition towards the right, that very much looks like a penis, like the underside of a penis.
Oh yeah. That's
It
one of
also
the things
reminds
that
me a little. I'm sorry, go on.
I was just gonna say that one of the things I love about his work is like the more you look at it, the more things you see.
Yes.
Yeah.
It also reminds me a little bit of the baby from Eraserhead,
Yeah.
which again, which also is kind of like a sperm creature, alien thing. Imagine like walking on this. Like, would it hurt it? You know what I mean? Like, it's very also like some there are like little tendrils that connect things that look like veins that are very weird. I wonder like what is his process in terms of like does he map it all out before doing it? Or does he just go and like does he decide how many dicks he's gonna hide in it? Or is he just drawing something and then he realizes it's a dick? And he's like, oh, I did it again.
Just accidentally making dicks. Some one of the talking heads in Darkstar, the reason why I'm talking about it, so like I watched it yesterday, so it's still
Yeah.
fresh. One of the talking heads mentioned that Giger never sketches. He just jumps in. So that doesn't answer your questions at all, but it made me
Yeah.
think of like, oh, okay. So he just has something in his head and then he translates it out. He doesn't like practice it. He doesn't sketch first. I found that
Okay.
really interesting.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
Like, oh,
All
okay.
right, so
Whatever.
my next work is got a great name. It's Fowl-a-Looia.
Yeah.
Like hallelujah and phallus put together. So this image, if you look it up, it's from 1968 or 1969. It's kind of difficult to describe this. In some ways, it's reminiscent of the Birth Machine because there seems to be like a barrel that's like cross, like cut in half. We see on the right of the composition a female. She's got her tongue. She's licking her lips with her tongue, so she's got a sexual look. We see her breasts. But on her face, above her mouth, are like these two eggs. They kind of look like the eggs from Alien. They're kind of droopy at the bottom. They could be testicles, but they also kind of look like a penis head. Right above her looks like it could be there's a little divot that looks like reminiscent of a clitoris. Scale is an interesting thing in his work because, he's making such otherworldly stuff. Like, you don't know, like, in his mind, how big or small it is. We should also say his work is very, like, two-dimensional and presentational. He never gets inside the space. If you look on the left of the composition, you see like more people with like the eyes like that or the things on their head, although those look a little bit more spermy. See what I mean? Where like things could be two things at once. Like the same image is repeating here, but one it looks more like testicles, and the other looks like sperm. Then there's a little hole that looks like it could be an anus or a vagina. And then there's like see that metal like loop? It looks like the mechanics of a lock.
It was making me wonder, like, if this is a mechanical process or a machine of sorts, of like, where's the beginning, where's the end?
Right.
Because if the left is like sperm,
Yeah.
right? Then the right is probably, we can read it as like maybe they kind of go through the machine and get shot out.
So it's similar, really, to the last image, but with less humor and more sexuality.
Yeah.
More like, he's in now, he's like super into drawing the female form or painting the female form.
Yeah.
Or drawing it, I guess, if this is ink. I'm not sure.
If you look close, above the lock loop thing, there is another head with that bulbous kind of. It's
Yes.
so dark, though, you have to like look at it. So there's something else going on too, like at the top.
Yeah.
That is also more, again, like of that machinery. So I had to use my phone light just to see what how to describe that, because it almost looks like an engine, but kind of not.
Let's talk about these breasts.
Yes, okay.
I can't tell. Well, I don't. I personally am not feeling attraction, but the way that they're kind of perfect male gaze breasts. They're medium sized. They're not saggy in any way. This is clearly
Symmetrical.
like, a heterosexual man creating this image. So I wonder, and also the thing on her mouth with the tongue coming out. I'm wondering if he is trying to make it sexy, or not. I mean, there's also always like, it also always feels like a sublimation. Like I know he had a lot of girlfriends and more than one wife, and he probably fucked a lot. But I also would not be surprised if you told me like, oh, he was actually celibate, because I could see all of this as like a sublimation of his desires. It's like true perversion in the sense that it's taking something sexual and making it something else.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, you know what else I thought about is if you look at the woman with the breast, if you look on the sides of that image, there's those sloped shoulders. It looks like a sarcophagus almost. And he was really into that too. He was into ancient mummy shit.
Well, that's a good dichotomy that I'm glad you brought up, which is like, there's man and machine, right? Or organic and inorganic, but also life and death. Like some of his creatures, it's like, are they alive? Are they not alive? Are these not alive bodies? Or are they some ancient thing that is indifferent to my human concept of alive or not? Although the fact that it has breast is so mammalian, and it's, they're mammaries, and it's for feeding children. Like, so to have breast there, I guess it's like it's jouissance, right? It's sex for pleasure, not for procreation, because it doesn't look like she's going to use those breasts to give milk to anybody,
No.
because she could be dead. Like it's you could see why psychoanalytical critics were drawn to this stuff.
Absolutely.
I've got the weirdest boner right now. No, just kidding.
Yes.
Just kidding. What's your next one, Nadia?
Yeah, okay. So my next one is it is Landscape 14. So it was made between 1972 and 73. It's the one with like a wall of fetuses. Yeah,
That
that one
all look
is
like him.
brutal. That all look like him. That
No, these look like dead babies. I mean, they're,
yeah.
yeah. The
It's
way that their
brutal.
eyes are closed as if they never opened.
It's kind of like if you ever seen those jars of fetuses like that never lived. Yeah. So that's what it kind of reminds me of. It also has this like melty kind of look to it, and some of them, if you look close, you'll notice that they're not fully formed. Like some of them have like one has like a nub for an arm that also might look like a penis head, but might not. They don't have legs. Some of them just look like torsos. It's really disgusting to look at. It remind me of yeah, like fetuses, but also it kind of looks like a venereal disease.
It looks painful. I see my If I had to give you one word, it would be pain or burning. Like burning, like a burning sensation. There's like boils. It's interesting when you compare it to the other landscape, right? Because the other landscape was so obtuse in terms of like what it was showing, or what figures we could try to make out of it. Where this is so much more upfront, like it's a wall of babies. Like clearly these are babies, whether they be fetuses or dead fetuses, or none of them have open eyes. They all have bald heads. They all have big fat cheeks like he did. They do look like him.
Oh yeah,
Oh,
it
look at the
also looks juicy.
Look at the one. He's like in the bottom row. He's like the second one. He doesn't have hands. He has like kind of like talons.
Oh yeah, actually, now that I you look, that most of them don't have hands, but that one is
Oh
very
yeah,
much,
that's
you can see
true.
what they do have. That's so disgusting. So I looked this up just a couple of minutes ago, so that's why I didn't share it with you. There's a blog. I was trying to find just digital pictures in case, my book was getting too much to look through. There's a blog called alienexplorations.blogspot.com. I didn't look for this particular. I just looked for Giger and Landscape 14, and there's a little note in here, and according to this, whoever runs this blog, is that Giger's previous landscape was featuring human genitals, and then this one is about babies and the life cycle of babies. And he wanted it to look like pizza.
What? It does not.
It does, no, it looks oily, but it does not
Yeah.
look like pizza.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's really weird and gross, and like I
It's interesting
sorry.
that he's interested in life cycles and gestation, right? Because that's a big thing in Alien, right? It's an egg, but then from the egg comes the facehugger monster that looks kind of like crab or arachnid-like, and that goes on your face, and then it forcefully impregnates you. It lays not lays an egg because it starts as an egg, but puts a creature in your stomach, and then that grows out of you, and then that grows and becomes the monster. So this idea of how life is made, it seems to be something that he's really interested in.
Yeah, it's
And
also a
alternative ways
brute.
to it, you know what I mean? Non-sex ways.
I would say it was very sexual though, because like if I'm
Okay,
remembering
yeah.
Alien right, when the face hugger is on
Right.
the face, you actually see movement in the throat. So
It's
it's like
very,
it's
I mean, it's
force.
rape. It's raping you. It's raping your face.
Yeah, and
Yeah, you're correct,
forcing
yeah.
the creature or like the sperm or whatever into your body. Like it's
That's a
really
good point.
brutal.
Look at the upper left-hand corner, right? There's like a baby head, and then there's something near it that's not a head. It almost looks like a placenta or like some kind of sac.
Afterbirth.
Yeah, well, it all feels like in utero. You know what I mean? Like this feels like it's inside of something.
Yeah, placenta. So after birth, according to the internet, is placenta and fetal membranes that are expelled after the baby is delivered. So the people who have not, oh God, these are unfortunate pictures online,
Did
but
you Google afterbirth?
I Googled afterbirth.
Well, you're getting what you deserve then.
This is true, but it does look like afterbirth.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is I can't believe this comes out of people. Nor th that's also a thing that you're bringing up about like reproduction and birth, of like how intense and involved and disgusting and also incredible, like
Actual procreation is.
yeah.
Yeah, no, birth is crazy.
Oh my God, the stuff that happens to people's bodies are
Yeah, it's
wild.
nuts.
Yeah.
And sex is gross too. Like sex is nuts too. Like it's weird. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm talking almost like a child. Like on some real surface level, like isn't it weird? It's weird. Like heteronormative sex, like you're inside another person, like that's crazy.
Yeah. And it only gets weirder in
Oh, I bet.
like in the animal kingdom. It just gets
Oh, yeah.
weirder. Ugh.
know, I might be wrong about this, but I believe, much like the xenomorph, bed bugs reproduce by rape.
Oh,
Like
no,
they,
that's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
yeah, there's no vagina. They rip a hole in the other one's torso and inseminate
With
it
the
that way.
pointed penis. Like the penis was evolved to be sharp like a sword or something, which
You
is
know,
crazy.
I don't believe in God, but that's an evil creature. Like what? Like bed bugs aren't loathsome enough, and then this is how they're all born in pain. They're all born of rape.
I feel like, I'm not one for eradication of entire species, but I feel like the world would be better without bed bugs.
Well, it's
You can
like,
make arguments for any kind of insects or horrible creatures, but there is no
yeah.
argument that a bed bug is environmentally
Well,
necessary.
does it have a natural predator? Is there anything that eats bed bugs that needs bed bugs to live? Because if not, then we could probably, get rid of them.
Just
What
blow them
needs
off the
bed
face of the
bugs
earth.
around? Probably something. I don't know.
No, because I don't know, actually. I have no clue. I don't think there is. Disgusting.
That was your third, right?
Yeah, I got two left.
Okay. So let me do my third. Let's see. I gotta find it.
I know, that's the thing about flipping.
Okay, this so it, the spell three. And it's he used Roman numerals, so I. So the spell is this image.
Okay, yeah.
So this is
Lee Tobler? Tobler?
yeah. Yeah, Lee or I was saying Lie, but probably Lee. There was an actress that he dated, and then they had an open relationship, and then she died of suicide. He got into this thing about spells and occult and Satanism and Anton LaVey and all that shit. And so this is a very symmetrical painting too, which is this is airbrush at this point. Because it's 1976, and he started airbrushing in 1972. And all of this stuff here becomes very symmetrical. And this is where he starts to take himself too seriously, or he starts getting high on his own supply. You know, he's listening to what critics are saying about him. But this is really interesting. All right, so in the center of the composition is a female-looking head. And it has a Medusa quality to it because on the sides of it, there are like these like pipes or pistons or bones or whatever that can also seem snake-like. But also there's three skulls stacked on top of her head, and one of them has a snake coming out of it that comes down, and the head of the snake is like between her eyes, like her third eye. So that's very Medusa-like. She has a neck, but then it cuts off. So it almost reminds me of like the Borg Queen from Star Trek: The Next Generation or Star Trek First Contact. And then on either side of her, there are these creatures that look almost like insects, but then also like there's something very clitoral and vaginal about them. But then they also look like scissors or shears. And because I love He-Man and I love to talk about He-Man. On the upper right-hand corner, see the skull that has like there's two. There's an upper hand, and then it's got no bottom jaw. It's like the top part of the jaw, and then a sort of torso underneath. That looks a lot like the way Castle Grayskull looks in the original Masters of the Universe movie, and I think that I'm onto something here because, famously, I did an episode with Peter Marsh on Hodorowski's Dune, and Hodorowski stupidly thought like he would attract money and investors if he took all the sketches and material and sent them around Hollywood. But instead, what happened was everyone stole from him. So, and there's other imagery in the Masters of the Universe movie that's stolen from the Dune stuff. So I feel like that there's got to be some line we can, there's got to be some paper trail between this image and the Masters of the Universe movie where it's basically a Geiger image that's stolen. Because, like, if you've ever seen Castle Grayskull in the original cartoon, original toy. It's like this stone castle that looks like a skull. But if you look up Castle Grayskull in the Master Universe movie from 1987, it's very Geiger looking.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
There is something playful here, which is if you look, there's two paint cans. Do you see the paint cans? There are two characters in that are like flanking either side of her head, and they've got like spray cans.
Oh, huh.
So a little bit of playfulness there. What do you think of this? Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it took me a little bit. Oh man.
It's oddly symmetrical, but it's you can look at these for hours and find little details.
So the two creatures side by side, they kind of have these like insect almost looking legs in the middle of the torsos.
Yes, true.
And then of course they look like they could either be daggers or like daggers that are made to look like creatures. Like obviously they both have like the kind of clits, but the way
Yeah.
they have those divots.
Yeah, labial, if
Yeah.
labial is a word.
I think that fits. I don't know why, but I keep going back to that like kind of almost an ancient Egypt kind of thing. Like it reminds me of
Oh
the very
yeah.
like decorative coffins and
Oh yeah.
materials or
Yeah.
sarcophagus rather. Yeah, it's but in an industrial age. Oh,
You imagine you're
man.
this beautiful woman and you're dating this man and he's like, "You inspired a work of art." And then he shows you this and you're like, "Oh wow."
He talked about that in Dark
Yeah.
Star. He said she hated it the first time he drew her.
I mean, right, 'cause look what he cut your head off.
God. He's like, this, she's like, this inspired you.
I
That's upsetting.
mean, he really was singular. There's few others like him. I mean, he truly was doing his own thing. And he came, there was a point in his career where, he could have started to go into galleries, but he instead realized that the smarter thing would be to go to, like, he walked into the office of a poster manufacturer with all these big images and said, "Let's make these posters." And he started like selling posters like crazy. And people would have these, like, you could imagine like dorm rooms or like wherever you smoke your weed having a Geiger poster. That, and I think Alien put him into the mainstream. But what's interesting is he still got the kind of respect that an artiste would have. You know what I mean? He's kind of got best of both worlds.
Yeah, he also did album covers.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Oh man. There's this really funny story of like they told in Dark Star with one of the landscape poster, I think it was landscape, where it basically looks like a bunch of vulvas with penises and something like that. And there's an obscenity charge in the trial against the band and the creators. It turns out that the obscenity charge is because they thought it was a picture, like a photograph. And his wife was telling the story. Yeah, so his wife was telling the story, so she heard it from him and she was just like, I don't understand this, like how would you stack people like that into a photo?
Right,
Like
right,
we had
right.
to ex he had to explain it was a painting.
That's crazy.
Which I'm like, where are the dicks attached to? Like
Yeah,
what?
right.
But yeah, so he had this like, something I also was wondering about is like he did have this appeal and he went that interesting route with the posters, which makes art accessible
Yes.
and album covers. That makes art really
Yeah, I
accessible
agree.
to the public, which is
Yeah.
fascinating, a fascinating choice. And then being in, winning an Oscar for Alien, which is also something like how often did artists' like careers blow up because of that? Like how
Right.
many, if we look at movies from the decades past, because now everything's CGI, but
Yeah.
like when you hired artists to paint like matte paintings or to design stuff, did
Yeah.
those people ever like their careers take off like this? Has anyone ever take besides Giger?
Well, you're gonna think like if you think about like production designers, like in a certain sense, at least on Alien, he was kind of a production designer, or at least not a production designer, but he was in the production design department. You know what I mean? He's creating sketches for things that are then built. Who else like that is considered like an actual artist?
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably because he continued making images. He could have stopped. Like, after Alien, he could have only worked in film. But he didn't want to do that, to his credit.
There was something in that Dark Star documentary too that I found interesting was that his wife was talking about how he just has good luck. Like how she put it, of just like his choices almost always ended up working out. And she talked about how they designed this bar with all his work, and she was like, yeah, it was so expensive and so like, but we broke even. So like even like his not great choices, he ended up doing okay. Like, so there's probably a lot to it, but sometimes I think people just there are certain people that just have a certain luck.
You know, there's a really interesting. They also made his museum, him and his wife, which seems like a cool place to visit. And when he does signings, it's just people coming up and showing them tattoos of his work that they put on their body. But then, like, there's that one guy who's crying. He's like so moved to meet Giger or Geiger, and he's like, oh, he's like literally he can't. He's beside himself. And then there's like tons of hot goth girls. And it's like this 7-year-old troll man. Like, how did he do it? It's insane.
I think it's there's something really beautiful about like someone being so moved to meet their artistic hero that they cry. And I think if
Daily
you
in
could,
that, yeah.
yeah, like if you could elicit a response out of people in that, I think that is unbelievably amazing.
But sadly, at that point, it felt like Geiger couldn't make facial expressions. Did he ever have a stroke? Because he seems to lack, when you see him in that documentary, which again, it's like 5 minutes before he died. He not only is he like constantly like, he could barely walk really. But also like he seems unable to like use parts of his face.
I don't know. It didn't I didn't see anything. I don't recall anything from the documentary or like when I was, scrolling the internet, but you're right. He did have like a kind of stiffness to him, and it almost seemed like he was just in pain almost
Yes, I
constantly.
Googled it. Yes,
Huh.
artist. Yes, artist. This is AI. This is Google AI. He did suffer a stroke a few years before his death.
I mean, that's just the beginning of the end, honestly. When you start stroking out,
He died in his
like
own home falling down the stairs.
that's
That
brutal.
sucks.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because when you watch that documentary, their house is so filled with stuff. Like it's like a
Oh, it's
hoarder's
wild.
home of shit. And of all that stuff, he fell down the stairs. Like he wasn't buried under like
I
piles
know.
of papers. Yeah. Do you want to move on to the next one? Okay, so my next one is again, it's in the English version or the German side of this book for some reason. It's called Stat 2, which is from 1966. It is a stat. I googled it. It means city. So what we're seeing here, this kind of reminded me almost like 80s fantastical world, like
What's an
heavy
earlier
metal or
piece?
something. It's an early piece, it's 66, so it's even before that. But you see this whole like vast landscape. There's like stairs, there's a creature missing arms, but again has a kind of spine and that big like bulbous butt. But it almost looks like a astronaut kind of looking thing because it has this thing over its head.
Got the space jockey thing, the like elephant trunk thing.
Yeah. So this kind of one of the reasons why I like this one is again it looks like a world.
It's not so presentational. He got into almost like cathedral, like stained glass looking images that are so like just 2D. Like, this almost feels like it could be in a weird comic.
Yeah, exactly.
There's narrative elements here. There's, the image has got its back to us and it's looking out. There's stairs that are going down somewhere. Like,
Yeah, and there's like a kind of like a cave-like images in the background, but it also looks like flesh. This is also the least biomechanical. It's kind of like he explored some of it, but in this painting, not really as much. So again, it's one of those things that also the spindly kind of thing, again, it does evoke for me like surrealist artists. And it what looks like clouds like in the background. It just feels like this is a weird place. And we're also like the aliens here. We don't, as in we're the visitors, we don't know what's here.
You know what it reminds me of? Have you seen Scavenger's Rain?
No, it's on my list though.
Scavenger's Rain, if you want to just see like weird landscapes, this reminds me of that a little bit. Yeah, you should watch it.
Yeah.
It's only one season, it's one and done.
I'm game. I love it. Yeah, so I kind of like, I don't know, would you say the biomechanical kind of aesthetic that he's designed, especially in the last painting that you just talked, would you say it's kind of more science fiction or fantasy or like in between?
That's a great question. So it on a surface level, it feels very sci-fi, right? It feels like I'm looking at machines and bodies being brought back to life, Frankenstein style. But then he gets into like Medusa heads and I don't think we picked any of them, but he got really into like the ram's head, which is like a Satanist image. And he has paintings called this series of paintings called The Spell. So he got in, there's some magical something in there. But also it all looks so it looks so tacit. It looks so tangible and painful. You know what I mean? If that brings a sort of sci-fi edge to it, you know what I mean? There's none of that like soft edges of magic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, but there is fantasy. Last week, we talked about Alice in Wonderland, the BBC version from 1966. And while I was preparing for these episodes, I couldn't help but think, what if Geiger made his own Alice in Wonderland, and what would that look like?
Way too sexual.
Right, but that would be actually perfectly in line with Lewis Carroll, right?
Yeah.
Lewis Carroll would have went to Epstein's Island.
Oh my God. There's that whole, honestly, the Victorian era is so weird. Like, not to excuse Lewis Carroll at all, but like in his personal belongings and stuff, there were pictures of naked girls, right? Or photographs. But like in that time period, it was actually normalized to have naked pictures of children. Like it was a thing of like an
It
artistic
was
thing.
a thing.
Like
It
it
was a thing,
wasn't.
not yet. It was a thing up until like the 70s.
Ugh, my
You know what I mean?
God.
Like it's like there are old art books of or old photography books of just child nudes.
Which is insane to like think of it. That was not that long ago. There are people alive that were alive in the
But
70s.
not all of this stuff was meant to be pornographic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a lot of it was meant to just document, you know what I mean?
Well, I think it was
Oh.
like an ideal. It was like natural posing or like that kind of weirdness. Yeah, I'm not saying that all. I don't think nudity is necessarily sexual in itself. It's just for, I guess, in this time period in 2026, it's just so odd to think about, of like that this was a thing. But anyway, yeah, but anyway, back
I mean,
to
look at
like, yeah, go ahead.
no, never mind. I was gonna say, look at the actress Brooke Shields. When she was a child, she was in like a porn magazine. It was like some French version of like Playboy or something, and she was like 12 or something,
Of
and
course, it
like
was
her mother let
French.
her do it, and like no one it went on newsstands and people sold like it's crazy, like it's wild.
Yeah. Oh my
Anyway,
goodness.
all right, so how many? I have two left. You have one left, right?
Yeah.
So I'm talking about Biomechanoid I from 1974. That's the one with the three little fetus guys, which we've seen before. So here he got really into Native American imagery, which he called Indian. These guys have like little like metal
Oh, kind of like
with feathers in them.
headbands.
Yes.
I okay,
Yeah.
you know what blew my mind? I didn't even notice the I was looking at I looked at this painting twice and I didn't even notice the feathers.
Yes.
Oh, that's
Well, I
wild.
mean, maybe what you were looking at was the fact that they have like machine gun arms. Like their arm, there's a lot of weaponry in this. Like their arms are like it has like a humanoid kind of arm, right? Like shoulder. And then below that is like a machine gun. But on the shoulder is a metal band with a wire coming out of it. And then that wire is attached to the trigger of the machine gun. So I guess like when it moves its arm, it would shoot the gun. If this one feels very like cyborg in the sense, but not cyborg, but like this one feels like these were human or humanoid beings that someone put this stuff onto, because there's a violence and a sort of like making here that doesn't feel like, some of the other stuff feels like it's some sort of weird other nature. Where this looks like these creatures were turned into what they are.
Oh yeah. That's interesting.
And
Yeah,
then
so
there's
kind of
a weird
like
little
the
penis.
Borg. Oh,
Yeah,
I'm
it's like
sorry.
the Borg, yeah. No, I was just talking about the weird little penis in the middle of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like what it like it's coming out of one of their chests, but it's coming upward.
It almost looks like a tank, like an oxygen tank, but with a
Yeah.
penis head.
Yeah.
One of them has a grenade just hanging off the front of it. I
Yeah.
think this is another thing about like the life cycle, but also that kind of cynicism about the military industrial complex.
Yeah.
Because they're babies, they're infants who also don't look well. They have like
Yeah.
warts and stuff, and their eyes are crusted over, but they also look like they weapons.
I just noticed the one at the top has like a cigarette.
Yeah, like a soldier. Oh man.
Interesting.
And it looks like the top one also has either a pierced ear or like a earplug or something. Like there's something in
Something's
its
coming out of
ear.
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Oh
there's like
man.
there's also like belts that look like very like man-made belts. This is just a very interesting one. It's all also very mono. So like we haven't really said like all of his stuff is very monochromatic. Like it's just blue scale or the one you the landscape before was like kind of like pink scale. They're not there's color, but there's also there's a lack of color, especially as he goes on. Like as he goes on, a lot of it's just sort of like bluish gunmetal gray.
Yeah, except the random ones that have a lot of red and blue in them.
Yes.
Yeah, so there this is part of a series and like it explores more of these kind of like baby soldier
Yeah.
weapon things. Oh man. Yeah, I you know, have you noticed that one of them has like broken teeth, like the one on the right?
Yes, yeah.
Ugh.
And he's got like either a boil or something in his mouth.
Oh man. You know what? When you look at the bottoms of it, especially that one with the boil-looking one,
Yeah.
it looks like the bottom half of their bodies are just like machines or gun parts.
Yeah, like there's nothing leg-like about it.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
These really look very Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yeah. Man.
But yeah, I mean, I like your reading of it. This could be seen as very political.
I think like both of those documentaries, the common theme is fear.
Yeah.
And also like a lot of his stuff, both of them made these kind of comparisons between yeah, like war. Like
Yeah.
some of his, like even though some of the things that look phallus-y, they would compare it to pictures of war with soldiers' helmets and
Right,
stuff like that.
right.
Yeah.
All right, what's your next one? Or your last
Okay.
one?
My last one is the tourist. Eight. It's Roman numerals. So the
This is an interesting
tourist,
one, yeah.
yeah, because it's again, it's like I've tried my best to pick things that are like different from each other as best as possible. This one is so unusual.
Yeah, especially because it's later too. It's 1982, but it feels very different from that period.
Yeah,
It's almost
it's
narrative.
yeah, it is they're aquatic, two aquatic creatures. One kind of looks almost like a seahorse kind of thing, and the other thing kind of looks like a vulva kind of almost round kind of tentacle thing. Yeah, so the reason why I picked this one is because it does see again, it's a similar otherworldly, but this is more like an ocean world. Like these are things that you would see in like a dark ocean. Almost I would say it is very Cthulhu-ish in a way. I'm actually reading this horror novel right now called The Fisherman. It has a really weird narrative structure that took me a while to get into. It's like someone telling a story about someone else's story about someone else's story. And what comes down to it, it's about like some kind of Cthulhu-like monster that wants to that someone or some creature is trying to catch. And that kind of put it together of like that kind of oceanic horror. It feels terrifying. There's not a lot here that's super sexualized, except, you know, the creature's mouth that looks like a vulva, which again, there are ocean creatures that kind of look like that, especially
What's the
in deep
thing that
waters.
your reading of it sees them as in the ocean, but I don't know if that's not the first thing that occurs to me. Like they could be just in some kind of space.
Okay.
But the tail of like the main figure on the left kind of feels very, it's kind of a combination of like a snail and a snake and a crab.
Okay.
So I can understand that mindset.
Well, just
You
so
think,
in there's something in the back that almost looks like an eel.
Oh, I
If
see, I
you,
see.
yeah. But like, again, if Giger designed the eel.
Right. Do you think it's going to like eat or fuck or kill the other figure, the egg-looking one?
No. I took it as they're just or even like I said ocean, but it could even be like a tank. Like if someone collected these creatures and just put them in a fish tank. Like there's something yeah, very just I guess maybe I took ocean or aquatic because of their flippers. Like how well but it could also be read of like why wouldn't something that lives in a like a limited gravity or no gravity space. Like, why wouldn't it have flippers to help it push through? Right? Yeah. So I don't entirely know. Like, according to this really old ass website by about some movie production, it kind of seemed like these paintings were he has a series of these were designed for a movie that wasn't made.
Free Willy.
Yeah, but yeah, so that was my last one.
Very nice. I think you picked a bunch of good ones.
Thank you.
Let's see. My last one is called Stillbirth Machine Number One. Stillbirth Machine I. And you recall that the first piece I showed was from 1967, and this was just called Birth Machine. That was the one with the gun, with the guys coming out of the gun, the little sperm guys. This is called Stillbirth Machine One, and it's from 1976. And this one is less playful and kind of violent. I mean, the name itself is very violent. Like we've talked about, are these things alive? Are they dead? Are they indifferent to that concept? But saying stillbirth machine brings, to mind the idea of like you're farming dead babies. And in this image, you've got a woman, a female woman figure who's like upside down. Her eyes are, she's like locked into this thing. There are tubes over her breast, I guess maybe to take milk or no, it is because there's like milk next to her head. And then her legs are spread. But she's locked into this, and there's like a tube or almost looks like a cannon coming out from her crotch, and then one of those Geiger dead babies. And there are needles near the baby's head, like its head is like being pierced by a needle. This is a very violent one. This one is sort of upsetting.
Yeah, I feel like what you were saying before, it's that period where the playfulness kind of dies out.
Right. But it is interesting to read against the other one called Birth Machine. I don't know, what do you think of this image?
Well, it is very it's grotesque.
Yeah.
It also looks like similar like to his some of the other baby ones too. It feels like she's birthing like some kind of baby war machine.
Yes.
There's also something about this kind of stuff that reminds me, and of course this is before this movie, but it reminds me of The Matrix, like a lot of
Yes.
that.
Oh yeah. Yes, the way this woman feels like tied in, if it was very Matrix. Also, I should say there's something very Christ-like about her.
Oh man.
But this also feels very violating, very like rapey.
Oh yeah, because like she's like almost grimacing. Like if you look closer, her
Yes.
mouth.
Yeah. Oh, but I read that as it looks a little ex like ecstasy to me.
Oh, I mean, it could be. I just can't imagine someone really enjoying themselves, unless of course, like this is like Hellraiser. They're just really enjoying
Yes. You know what
it.
makes me think of? Like, Freud had that the concept of the death drive, which it's not really a drive towards death, but it's like almost like everybody want like all life is trying to become inanimate. At least that's how I read it in grad school. He talks about it in, I believe it's actually one of his students came up with the idea and then he just stole it from her. But he talks about it in his essay, Beyond the Pleasure Principle. I think about that with this work, the drive towards death. Like, you like instead of reproducing life, you're reproducing death.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You're making death not by killing something alive, but by reproducing death.
Yes.
And
The
but notice that, but it's always there's no like adult males and there's no child females, right? I mean, I guess the baby could be female, but it looks like him. It looks like a male face. And then it's all these very like, Western standard of beauty female bodies. Like seeing them juxtaposed together in this image is really interesting because she's got this perfect. I mean, there's alien things about her, but she's got hips and breasts and
Yeah, she's
she's
very
also very white standard of beauty. Like look how white she is compared to everything else.
yes, as well like shapely.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that her hands and feet look like skeletal?
Yes, they do. They do.
Which I think also speaks to your death drive kind of idea
Yeah.
here.
But they also look a bit mechanical too, like almost like.
Yeah.
So
But
with
yeah.
the hands, I read that as like those aren't her hands, but like her arms are going into a machine. But look at the like the on her torso, like in her sides, there are these four things going into her body. Like, what are they doing? It's like creating pain.
Well, they're also white,
Yes.
so
Okay,
it
yeah.
could be like the brutality reproduction. It's like shooting the sperm in you.
I felt it was good to end on a real fucked up note.
I think that's important,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I hope everyone playing along at home looked at these images with us and let us know what you thought about them. And I definitely want to do more artists and work of artists on the podcast.
I'm game.
Nadia,
Oh.
how do you feel about, now you'll be done recording and you'll go into life and you'll bring this with you for the rest of your day. Have you eaten dinner yet?
I scarfed something down, so I'm good.
Okay. So, well, I hope you have pleasant dreams.
I hope so too. Probably not after looking at these, but would be interesting at least.
Well, Nadia, thank you so much for being a part of this episode. This is HR Geiger. Geiger. Or Giger. We didn't figure it out. This is PCMC, Pop Culture Man Children, your one-stop shop for non-toxic fandom. We come out
You
every
should
Wednesday.
say go bye bye in the Giger voice.
We end every episode. I'll set myself up too. We'll end. No, you say we end every episode by.
We end every episode by.
Go bye-bye.